Here we go. Take your Bibles and turn to Titus chapter 1. Take you some water. Have you given me some water? Okay. Titus chapter 1, verse 14. We'll do a lot of reading today together. Got that working? We got that working? We got that working? The sound is on. Okay. And Titus 1:14. Not giving heed to Jewish fables. Now, we've been over this stuff before, too. And commandments of men that turn from the truth. So, the truth today we know is the Word of God. We know is the King James Bible. Not a problem. If it's wrongly divided, we can take a Bible that is all truth and we can turn it into false by applying it at the wrong time of dispensational, whatever they want to call it. It's all true, but if you try to apply it, then it's false. If you try to take the Beatitudes and apply the Beatitudes today, the truth that Jesus said to the Jews about the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, becomes a false gospel if taught today as far as apply that in our life. So, knowing those things, when it says here that these Jewish fables will turn people from the truth, then I'm sure these Jewish fables aren't things like Three Little Pigs, Goldilocks, that kind of stuff, you know. It's something that's been taught Jewish. And we know that the Gospels are taught to the Jews. And I personally preach and teach that if you try to get people to apply the Gospels to today, the teachings that Jesus said to take out to the world, take out to the ends of the earth, whatever, then to teach those things, you're teaching a Jewish lie. It's a fable to be presented to today. Even though it's truth, history, it's presented as God, then it's a fable, then it's not true. And it gets people to get into the wrong things. Then we also realize that in Revelation chapter 3, whatever stock you put in these churches, in the seven churches in Revelation, that during this Philadelphian church age, which I believe we are in, but these also have historical and doctrinal and tribulation application. I don't understand them very well yet. But it does talk about in verse 9 that the Philadelphian church age, which is blessed by God as the most one, also has people that says, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and they're not, but do lie. So there's people that believe they're Jews. Now, whether people today actually believe that they're Jews, but they're believing a Jewish teaching, so they're thinking like a Jewish teaching, they're thinking like they're behaving, they're responding, they're thinking of God in a Jewish manner, and I just kind of lean toward that whole thing, that's kind of how this stuff all comes together. Because it's a huge thing today. I mean, if there's anything being taught that's turning people from the truth, it's all these Jewish teachings that are in this Bible written to the Jews. So, And what's going on here, turn to the book of Revelation. Before the real Jesus, the real risen Savior comes back, in Revelation 19, there has to be the copy, the Antichrist. He's got to come down and do his deception with the world, Revelation chapter 6. In order for him to do that, then in order for him to be accepted by the people, then they will have to have been taught by what Jesus taught, because those are Jesus' teachings, but being taught at the wrong time to get people to follow the devil, thinking they're following Jesus, when Paul even warns about another Jesus. And so we know the devil in Ezekiel and Isaiah wants to be like the Most High. He wants to receive all the worship, and he thinks he can take the throne over, and that kind of a thing. And this is his world down here right now today. And during the tribulation, he will be walking on this earth, seeking who may devour, that kind of a thing. Then what we see going on, what we've learned to see here in the last year, we've started to recognize so many teachings that are not just Jewish teachings out of the Bible, wrongly divided, profane and vain babblings. I was thinking the word blunderings. That isn't the right word. Vain or profane. Profane and vain babblings. Now I'm going to always want to say blunderings there. Hope I can forget that word, blunderings. So because of that, people are being prepared for the coming of a Jesus, but it's not the right one. Because the Jesus that's coming is the one that's the risen Jesus, and that's the one that's taught to us through Paul what we need to know. So we conflict with people because we're talking about the risen Jesus teachings compared to the earthly Jesus teachings. And there's where our conflict comes with people. And it's too bad because we're both getting them out of the same Bible. But wrongly dividing will give you another Jesus, and the rightly dividing will give you the living Jesus. So as a result of that, what we see is we hear people, preachers all the time, preaching things from the part of the Bible that scares the people. It demands things from them. It pushes them. We just sang Troy that song, you know, Trust and Obey. The first verse makes it sound like that. If we don't trust and obey, then we're no longer with him, or he's not with us, and he's left us. The fellowship is gone. But see, that's not true through Paul's teachings. Through the gospel teachings and the tribulation teachings, yes, that's very true. But so we watch for those things, and we notice those kind of, we notice the trend. As much as ecumenical religion grows, we know it's leading people to another Jesus, but even the Bible-believing crowd is rejecting rightly dividing now and going back to Great Commission and going to the Peter and the Baptist teachings. They're huge in the book of Peter and Jude and the Gospels. It's amazing. So we see that taking place. And I call that, Paul even calls them in one of his lists there that he uses the word extortioners. And an extortioner is one who forces you to respond. He gets something out of you, and he will force it from you, scare you from it. And I call modern preachers, say pastor, King, even some King James guys, they scare you, they work you, and that's extortion, and that's what's taking place. So when we realize that sort of a thing, let's go to Luke. And what I want to do today is a little different, I suppose. We're going to read through the Gospels about the judgment, when the Lord's coming back kind of a thing. And I'll just point out, I'll point out a few things, not a whole lot of comments. I'll try not to anyway. And I want you to recognize a few things. One is you recognize some things that are being taught today. I mean, they're just flat being taught. You buy these books on the coming of Jesus or the revelation or the signs of the times or all the things that are taking place in the world today, the wars, all that stuff, the Lord must be coming soon, all this kind of a thing. And we're going to see where they're getting this from. They're getting this from the Gospels. They're not getting this from Paul. And then so you recognize that, and then you'll also recognize some things that are starting to take place today. We're not in the tribulation. We're not in the Laodicean church age. I believe that's the same. That's the church of the tribulation. But regardless if you believe that or not, we're not in the tribulation yet. But we're seeing things that are in the tribulation that are starting to take place. We're starting to become more attentive and becoming more obvious and happening more and more. You'll recognize a lot of that. So depending upon what you've heard from these prophecy people or what you've heard on television or the magazines, these expensive little brochures that come to your house, you'll recognize some things here. For example, here we go, Luke chapter 21. And we're going to read the Luke account and the Mark account and Matthew. So like I say, a lot of reading here this afternoon. Luke 21, verse 5. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, when shall these things be? And what sign? So there we are, there's a sign. What we have today, we have people looking for these signs that they read about in the Gospels. What sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. Now, it's interesting that he says, I am Christ. Why doesn't he say, I am Jesus? Because, see, he knows that when he's dead and gone and risen, he'll be Christ. So he said, they will come in and say, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. And then he says, go ye not therefore after them. So people that are talking this way, we ought not follow. But again, he's talking to the Jews now. Verse 9, but when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. Well, we're having wars and commotions and You know, so we're strong. We're not worried about that. But notice what he says. He says, but the end is not by and by. So we're already following Jewish teachings that if we're going to look at this stuff and think this is what's taking place today, we could be encouraged because it says must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Well, we're encouraged not by this. We're encouraged by Paul's teachings, by the rapture. We're not going to worry about God's wrath, all this kind of thing, which we'll get to in a minute. But even though the preachers preach this stuff today, you never hear them say this. The end is not by and by. So it's not even time yet. All these wars that are going on. Then he said unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. So we see that potential more and more every day. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places. Okay, we know that that's increasing. Famines and pestilences, the news is always government preparing those things to hit. And fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. So they're getting this stuff. Now remember, this is the Gospels. This isn't to the Gentiles. This isn't to us today. This is not for us to worry about. These things will take place, but they're not going to take place to us. Verse 12. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And people today think that their persecution from street preaching and not having a church building and having to put up a firewall and not being able to have a nursery in their church and have certain rules they have to follow like everybody else when you build a swimming pool and a baptistry. And they think that's persecution, so that must be where they're getting this from. So you must be getting ready to come back because we're being oh so horribly persecuted. Knowing, of course, that they're preaching the wrong gospel on the streets, they're preaching it in the wrong manner, and the building code stuff, why should we be any different than anybody else, and you know, all that kind of stuff. Verse 13, and I shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay, nor resist. Okay, now that's good. In this day, God's going to give them what to say. And they can't argue back. That's the way it's going to be. What do we have today that fits this, really? We have a King James Bible. They're not able to gainsay nor resist. They try and they try and they try. 300, 400, 500 Bibles later, you still can't say what the King James says, et cetera, et cetera. And it's from God, and if we speak His words, we're speaking the words from God's mouth and God's wisdom. But that's not what He's talking about. He's talking about He will give it to them in those days. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. Well, now see, we see more of that happening. Parents are not happy with what the young people are learning. Brethren are not happy with what we're teaching about Paul, kinsfolks and friends. So yeah, that's happening. It doesn't mean in the tribulation. It means that this is going to be increasing more and more. This is going to happen for us anyway. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Well, his name's sake, we talk about the risen Savior. And we try to teach them what the risen Savior has taught. So yes, we preach his name, and we're supposed to. But people don't like that part of it. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. Nope, he was not on there. But anyway, he wouldn't worry about that verse. There shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. Works. You have to have patience. You have to make sure you still keep doing right. And that'll keep your soul. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Well, how many years have armies been in Jerusalem? Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance. Okay? Remember Romans chapter 2, God is saving. He's storing up for the wrath of what lost people are doing. If they get saved, he wipes it out, washes it away. Well, here's his vengeance. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck, in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. There's a lot of people today that are concerned. Should we not have children? And it's I don't know. It's a tough call. Knowing the schools the way they are, the relatives, the families, the world, the country. You think about it. But it isn't something that you're told not to. But during the tribulation, you don't want to have any babies. You don't want to have to deal with that. Woe to them that are with child. This is during the tribulation. There shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth's distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, man's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Can you imagine what these people are going to see? But you hear people talking about that this could happen any time. Well, it can happen any time, not yet. And when they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And these people that are following these things are expecting the coming of the Lord, and they're going to see Revelation chapter 6 instead of Revelation 19. Look down the last verse, for example. Watch ye therefore, verse 36, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Well, see, He's made us worthy. Rapture, Holy Spirit's gone. We have to go with the Holy Spirit. Flesh stays here. And then He comes, then the tribulation comes, and the Antichrist comes, and all these things take place. But this isn't something for us to sweat. So there's the Luke reading. Now let's go to Mark 13. We'll read it again. You'll see some more things that are in there. Remember, these are three different accounts of the same thing. Mark chapter 13, verse 1. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said unto him, Master, see what manner of stones or what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, see, now we see who he's talking to here in this account. Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately. And I find this sidelight here. Peter, James, and John, that's the ones that we sing in that boat. Peter, James, and John in a sailboat. Peter, James, and John. I don't know how we left Andrew out of there, but oh well. But they ask him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, Take heed, lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be. But the end shall not be yet. There he says it again. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning. These are just the beginning. Beginnings of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. Now, I don't believe you need to worry about that. Unless you say things stupid or whatever. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. Now, I wonder what gospel is supposed to be preached among all nations. We'll see this answer here fairly soon. Verse 11. For when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. There we go again. He will give them what to say. So he even tells them, don't sit around and think about it. I'll tell you what to say when the time comes. So see, if we learn our Bible and study our Bible, read our Bible, we'll know what to say when it's time to say something. Yes, we do have to study it. He's not going to give it to us. Like here he says, neither do you premeditate. You know, don't be preparing. I'll just give you some stuff. Well, we're living in the days we've got the book. We need to premeditate. We need to study. We need to look at that book. And then as the conversations come along, he'll give us what he would have us to say if our brain is prepared with his words. So that's what we have today. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son. And children should rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. You know, it wasn't too many years ago we couldn't imagine that. But I can imagine it now. I don't have to imagine it. There are children that are upset with what their parents are being, what they believe, because the schools are teaching them that. So though this makes sense to me that they'll have eventually have their parents put to death because they believe such things. And ye shall be hated of all men, for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end of the same shall be saved. It's works salvation. You've got to endure. You've got to stay right. You've got to stay clean. And you'll be saved. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation, well, that's quite a title, the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand, then let them be in Judea flee to the mountains. So we know that. And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, and pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of creation, which God created unto this time, and neither shall be. So these are terrible days. But we're not talking about anything that the Gentile, save Gentile, has to go through at all. That's the goodness of God. The goodness of God is this kind of judgment has not come down upon people yet. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. So, we ought not be preaching the gospel's judgment other than to tell people this is what it will be like during the tribulation. But not for something to fear today. For Christians. Look here at verse 24. But in those days, after that tribulation, after it's all done, after the horrible, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming. So that's when that stuff takes place. 27, and then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. Whether when her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. I like that phrase. Even at the doors. Tribulation is at the door. The Lord's coming is at the doors. No, it's not. We've got the rapture. We've got God's goodness, etc., etc. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So we still have his words. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. But the Son does know when he's coming back for the rapture. That's my thought. Take ye heed, watch and pray. So there's Mark. Learned a few things and found out who the guys were that he was talking to, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew. Learned some other little things in there. Okay, and again, this isn't written to us. We can learn from it, but not fear it. Matthew chapter 24, let's go to Matthew chapter 24. So these people, these Paul people that tell people not to read the rest of their Bible, they're missing out on a lot of stuff they need to learn. But it isn't anything to fear or to try to follow either. If somebody wants to go through the tribulation, tell them what's going to happen. Go show them in the Gospels what's going to take place. That's okay. But it isn't to us to worry about for us today. Matthew chapter 24, verse 1. Here we are back to the stones again. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. We know who those were. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you that there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming? There's that sign again. And of the end of the world. So, end of the world. People talk about the end of the world. They have no idea what they're talking about. This is after the tribulation. When the Lord comes back, millennium starts, the last days. But we have the rapture to go through, or just our own personal private agonizing or drugged up death or whatever. And the life living, knowing what we know about the risen Savior. Verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. And there's more and more deception going on today because nobody knowing their Bible. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So, this war thing, you're not going to get rid of war. It's just not going to happen. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. We hear the pestilence and famine thing already being developed by companies and governments. It's just an amazing thing. It isn't going to just happen. We're actually creating this sort of a thing ourselves. And then shall 8, and these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended. We know that's happening more and more, offending. And shall betray one another. That's happened many times among Christians. And shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And that's happening too. But he that shall endure unto the end, there it is, works again, the same shall be saved. Now, what gospel is going to be preached during this thing? It says right here, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. That's that earthly kingdom. It's the kingdom. And in Revelation 14, we'll get to that in a minute here. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down. There's all that again. Verse 20, pray 19, woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, but pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day even. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, there shall be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they should deceive their very elect. So we see these things happening more and more. Why? The tribulation? No, but the transition is always takes time. So we don't need to worry about these things. But we're seeing them start to develop more and more and more. Which I said this morning will make you a scattered Christian, because if you talk to people that these things aren't to us, there goes the family, there goes the kinsfolk, there goes the brethren, there goes your parents, there goes the kids, whatever. Verse 25, behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, I suppose everybody knows this, except I didn't know this until the last couple of years, and it may not be true anymore, but all the grave sites and cemeteries, all the people are buried in such that they're facing, their head would be, if they were to sit up, their head would be facing east. I don't know if that's true or not anymore these days, but it was true for many years in America, because that's where the Lord's going to come out of the east. So they'd be able to see him, one of those kind of things. Check your local cemetery and see if that's still true. I should do that. I'm kind of curious. 28. For whatsoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Well, I remember Revelation 19, Great Supper of the Lord. Kings and all that kind of a thing. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. See, that's not our problem. That's not a concern for us. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And that, when I was reading this, I remembered the bat sign. You know, the Batman symbol up in the sky. Here's this bat. And it's just like the devil takes things that are true and puts them in comics and science fiction and the whole thing. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. Remember, the elect are all scattered. The Jews are all scattered from one end of heaven to the other. So, we hear these things. And people are missing the goodness of God. They're missing Paul's teachings. They're missing things. They're missing, for example, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Why is that so ignored? Oh, wait a minute. It's in Paul's book. So we don't listen about Paul. So that can't possibly be that. You can't possibly believe that this is referring to the rapture, as you folks call it, because the word rapture is not a word in the Bible. Well, it's just neither is a risen Christ, I don't think, but it's just explained something. Okay, it's when the goodness of God, he cuts off the nations. That would be the rapture time. Whatever. Chapter 4, verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or come before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, not on the earth, but in the air. And so shall every be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Those are our comforts. But you go right into chapter 5, and Paul suddenly starts talking about the second coming. How do you know that? Because it's got rings of familiarity to the Gospels. But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. For they that can be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we shall live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Now, there's more signs of the second coming there. So, you got to watch for that kind of a thing, and not to mix all these things up. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians, just over a page, chapter 2. Now, some things do have to take place before the actual tribulation, from what we can understand here. Verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped. Now we know the worship is a big thing going on today in our churches. So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, with only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, Revelation 19, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan and the power and signs. And we're seeing these signs and wonders more and more today, growing into them. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receiveth not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. They've already rejected God. God is not tricking them. They've already turned against him. And he says that this cause that they might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So he's going to give them a delusion. Then he says in verse 13, but then he talks about us. So we don't need to worry about the second coming. We need to be concerned about the rapture, because after that comes the judgment seat of Christ. Our personal works being set aside or being studied, that type of thing. So This is just a quick thing to help us realize that, again, what's being taught in our churches is Jewish teachings. And I don't still understand all the rapture and all the tribulation stuff. Why would Paul write about the tribulation if all he's concerned about is the rapture for him and his people, and knowing that it hasn't even come yet, you know, 1,000 or so some years later? What's up with all that? There are those people that believe it already took place, it's already happened, and we're living in the millennium now, which we know better than that by the description of the millennium. I haven't found any golden streets or whatever is going to be taking place during that time. So we're just out of kilter. So, I mean, there you have it. Just kind of a quick thing this morning, or this afternoon. We'll do a longer one tonight, of course. But there's your gospel judgment versus what Paul teaches. Paul says in Romans chapter 2:16 that we will be judged. Our works will be judged by Jesus Christ through Paul's gospel. So we don't need to worry about what he taught to the Jews. We need to be concerned what he taught to us through Paul and Paul's books, Romans through Philemon, even right to dividing his early books with 1 Corinthians 13:10, that which is perfect being the King James Bible. So anyway, there you go. Just listen to what's going out there, and you'll see all this stuff. You'll hear people talking about those things all the time. And yeah, they're deceivers and they're extortionists, trying to scare people into church and all that kind of stuff. So we'll see you tonight. 8 o'clock tonight, Eastern Standard Time, and we'll see you then.